Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf, Yevamos Kuf Tesvav. We are holding on the very last line of Kuf Yudal Amud Beis. In yesterday's Sugi, we learned that although typically an Isha is to be trusted when she comes and tells us about her husband's passing, this allows her to remarry. But that's when things are just running as normal. Suppose there's a war out there. It's a time of milchama, which can perhaps generate rumors and assumptions, and people might jump to conclusions. In that case, we can't just take her story as fact, unless she actually confirms his death, but just merely by coming and telling us that he was attacked on the battlefield and he must have succumbed, that's not enough to allow her to remarry. Asks the Gemara Ashayla, Iboilu. The Bnei Yeshiva asked Ashayla, what about if we are unaware of any warfare out there and she comes and tells us about it? Yechziko hi melchama ba'olam. Well, she comes and introduces this factor. She says, look, I happen to have gone with my husband to this and this province where there was war raging, and he was attacked in battle, and he succumbed. So she was the one who told us about the milchama altogether. Can we believe her? Can we trust her story? Mahu, what is the halach? What's the shayla? Mi amrinan, shall we say, malo l'shaker. Why would she mislead us? Meaning, if she wants to lie, she had a much better way of doing it. Di'i boya, if she would have wanted, amra shalom boilam. She simply says, look, everything was fine. Peace and tranquility reigned in that area. Why does she even have to tell us about milchama? All she needs to do is come and tell us, look, I'm coming from a peaceful area, and my husband died. In which case, we would just believe her story. Right? No milchama, no reason to question her story. If she would have wanted, she would have done that. Instead, she comes and tells us about the milchama. And she says, my husband was attacked. And he died. So obviously, she's saying the truth. But otherwise, why would she have to even tell us about the milchama? Oidilma. See, this is one way to look at it. Oidilma, or you can say, look, when we don't take her story as fact, right? Sha'as milchama. We can't rely on her story. That's not because she's deliberately misleading us. That's not the reason. It's not because she's lying. That's because this is just plain human nature. In precarious situations, in times of war, people just, you know, tend to jump to conclusions. So it's not a question of lying. It's a question of assumptions. It's a question of rumors. It's a question of anxious people just taking rumor as fact, viewing assumptions as reality. Or perhaps you can say, Kivan de Ichsaka, once she comes and tells us this war, Amra be the dummy, we conclude that it's very likely that she is making assumptions. She's not trying to mislead us, but that's just the way people think. And therefore, this svara, why should she lie? She could have done a better job if she wanted to lie. She could have concealed the truth. That's not an argument. That argument can't come umara chaskase and undo this perspective that we have. That during the time of Muhammad, people jump to conclusions. It's just a known fact. It's just part and parcel of human nature and the way a person thinks. If it's a question of accusing her of lying, accusing her of misleading us, then you have a good argument. Look, if she would have wanted to lie, she could have done a better job. Why did she even have to tell us about the Muhammad? She could have just hidden that fact and we would have taken her story. But the point is, And she's not trying to lie. It's just the way people think. People jump to conclusions. And once we know that there was Milchama, because she told us, the inevitable conclusion that we arrive at is that, look, this story is not confirmed. This story is a questionable account of events. So what's the halacha? Toshma, listen to this right. An isha comes along and says, Ishinu aleinu bayis. You know, the enemies came and they lit a fire at the door of the home and filled the home with smoke to force us out. Ishinu aleinu ma'ara. They filled up the cave in which we were hiding. They filled it up with smoke. Hu meis. My husband passed away. He died. He was a victim. Vani nitzalti. I was miraculously saved. Eino ne'emenes. We don't believe it. We don't take it as fact. Here's a perfect example of the Isha introducing the Milchama factor, something which was unknown to us at the moment. And we don't believe her. Fact is, there was violence, there was a Milchama there, and you never know what's the truth and what's fiction. Meaning, perhaps it's just an assumption that she's making. How could he have survived? It's just the way people think. They assume the worst. But bottom line is, she was the one who told us the entire story from beginning to end. So it's pretty clear from this halacha that we can't use the svara of Mali the Shaker. Why would she have lied? She's not trying to lie. It's just plain, simple human nature to assume and to jump into conclusions. Answers the Gemara Shani Hasim. It's very different there. Because she's not even telling us that she saw that he died. The place filled up with smoke and he died. Perhaps it's just an assumption. Right? By the Muhammad, you know, she comes and says he dies. It's very likely that what she means to say is, I saw him die. But in this case, she's not even saying that. All she said was, it filled up with smoke and I escaped and he died. I escaped. I ran away from the smoke. Which sounds like she wasn't even there long enough to see what happened to him. And therefore, we can't take it as fact. We tell her, just as a miracle occurred to you and you were miraculously saved from that smoke, perhaps he also experienced that miracle. So there's nothing to accept as fact. She's not even telling us that she saw him die. Toshma. Here comes another ayah. Naflu aleinu oivdi gechavim. We were attacked by goyim. Naflu aleinu listim. We were attacked by robbers. Hu meis v'nitzalti. He died and I was saved. Ne'emenes. We believe her. There you go. She is informing us about a local, you know, battle, local attack, and we take her a story as fact. Answers the Gemara there, it's different. Because the reason why we don't necessarily listen to her story when it comes to the Milchama, we had this yesterday, Taisa explained, because it's a dangerous situation, there are bullets flying all over the place. She'll disappear. She runs away, and she doesn't stick around long enough to see what happens to him. But in this case, it was just a local skirmish. We assume she stuck around long enough. She stayed around long enough to actually witness his death. Hasam kudrav idi. The Amar Vidar Idi tells us, Anisha is not scared to linger when they are attacked. Isha kli zayna aleha. She has her weapons on her. Either her physical attraction or some farshim explain. Anisha doesn't pose a threat to the robbers. They don't perceive her as an equal, as a threat. So she'll stand there and wait around long enough to see what happened to him. So when she comes and tells us about this skirmish and about her husband's death, the presumption is she was there long enough to actually witness his passing, and there's something to believe. How gavra? There was a story about this fellow, this chasn, just got married. The bishilhi hiluli, right at the end of his wedding, is itli nura. Nura is a fire. A fire caught onto the Bey Ganani, his chuppah, where he was staying, that room, and there was this raging fire. Armor Lahud Visus, who was newly wed wife, calls out to the people out there, Chazuk Avroy, come, look at my man, my husband dying, come save. And then she says, then also they came. Chazuk Avroy, unfortunately they see this man, Charuchav, all burnt up, lying there, victim of the fire, the Shadi, he was lying there, Upisad Yad, in the palm of one's hand, another person's hand, the Shadi was lying nearby. Apparently he was the fellow trying to save him. He also got burnt. So Rabchia figured, Hainu, we can't believe her, because this is the same halacha as Ishinu Lein Abayis, Ishinu Lein Amara, that's the case of the smoke, where we can't believe her story, meaning perhaps it wasn't really her husband. Amar Rava. So Rava tells him, how can you compare? Me dummy, how do you equate the two things? Of course she's believed in this case. Hasam like Amra Chazuk Avroy. In the case of the smoke, she wasn't calling out that they should save her husband. V'oid, in addition, Gavra Charucha Deshadi. In this case, you see a man lying here, Pisa Deyada Deshadi, and there's another hand nearby. It's pretty clear that her husband passed away. So why would you not believe her? Answers the Gemara of Rav Chiya Bar Abin. He responds by saying like this. You never know. Gavra Charucha Deshadi, this fellow lying here, maybe it's the other person who came to save him. Another fellow came to rescue him. Right? He was struck by fire. So he is the victim. What about this palm, this hand that's sitting nearby? Nura Isalya. Maybe this was actually the chasan, that his hand caught fire. Now he was, you know, severely burnt and blemished. Perhaps due to his shame and embarrassment from his newly wed wife, he just took off and ran away. So he's actually alive, sitting somewhere. So you'll never know who's whom. He comes a new shayla. We know that typically, just as the isha is going to be believed about her husband's death, as long as it's not wartime, and eid echad as well is to be trusted when he comes and speaks about someone's passing. What about if it's wartime? Mao, what would you say then? Time of the eid echad the mehemen. Why do we believe one eid when it comes to be matir and aguna? Mishum de milsa David legluya, because it's a fact that will be verified and publicized to all. It's going to become public knowledge. And in that case, a person wouldn't lie. Milsa David legluya is something which can become public knowledge. Who? Loy mishaker. A person wouldn't lie. So, since speaking about a person's condition is a milsa vidal gluyahu, why would the aid mislead us? And of course we believe him. It's the same way over here. If it's a war, if it's during the Muhammad, it makes no difference. Why would he come testify about a person's death if it wasn't really true? Or you can say, why do we trust one aid? Typically we need two aid. And why by Aguna do we believe one aid? It's based on the fact that she will meticulously investigate the matter. Mishum dehigufa, the isha herself is daiko minsaba, she'll pay close attention to the facts, investigate and confirm the matter, because as we learned in the past, the chachamim apply very severe consequences in a case where it turns out to be untrue, so we rely on her good efforts. But in this case, where it's wartime, v'achaloi daiko minsaba, perhaps she won't pay close attention, meaning it's wartime. Assumptions, anxieties, jumping to conclusions. That same svara applies to eid echad as well. She's not going to look into it any further. She hears from the aid that her husband died in that specific attack. Fine. She assumes it's fact, and that's it. Amar Rami Bar Chama Toshma, here comes the riot to this shayla. Amar Rabbi Akiva, it says like this. Kishirati l'Nardo, when I traveled to Nardo, which is in Bavel, la'aber Ashana, to extend the year, Matsasi, I found Nechemya Ish Beisdeli, that was his name. Amalini tells me, Shemati, you know, I heard a rumor, she'ein ma'asin as Isha b'Eretz Yisrael, p'i Edechad, Eretz Yisrael, they don't trust an Edechad to allow an Isha to remarry, Ela Rabida ben Bava, only this Tana, only he does it, but nobody else? V'nam Tzilir, Rekiva says, you know, I responded to him, I acknowledged, yes, Ken Advarim indeed, that is the confirmed truth. Amar Lee, he tells me like this. It's a big mistake. You can rely on Eid Echad. Emar Lehem Mishmi, go back to Eretz Yisrael and tell them in my name, Atam Yodim, you know good and well that Shamadina Hazu, this province here, Mishubeshes Begayasa, is filled with roaming, troops and highway robbers. Kach mekublani mirabon Gamliel Azokan. I have a Kabbalah halacha all the way back from Rama Gamliel. Shema sina ishal pi edechad. We do trust in edechad's testimony to remarry a woman. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Now, what did he mean? My medina zu mishubeshes begayosis. Why was he related to the roaming bandits? Lav, apparently, afagav the medina zu mishubeshes. He was trying to say, even though there were roaming bandits and the times are dangerous, still kach mekublani shemasin api edechad. We always trust in edechad, even if it's wartime. Clearly we trust Eidecha. That was his message. He was alluding to the fact that even when it's time of Muhammad, when it's time of uncertainty, Eidecha is to be believed. So that's a raya. Amar Rava, no. If that was his point, Maishna Medina Zu, why would he reference this particular province? He should have stated a general statement. Kol Makam Sheish Gayos. This means Barile. He should have said, wherever they have Muhammad, wherever they have bandits and troops roaming, then we believe the Eidechad. Why did he refer to this particular Medina? Elam Rav, Rav says like this. He was trying to make another point. Hachik Amar, he was saying like this. Atam Yoidim, you know full and well, you're aware of the fact that Medina Zu, Mishu Beshes B'Gayasais, it's dangerous to travel in this town, in this province. V'loi Efshali L'Mishpak in Shibesi, and in my state, I'm unable to leave my family and travel, O'maisi Kami Rabbanon, and present myself to the Rabbanon Eretz Yisrael. So I want you to carry over the message. Kach mekublani mirab gamliel. I have a Kabbalah from Gamliel. Shemasina isha api edechad. We trust in edechad to allow an isha to remarry. But he wasn't necessarily referring to times of Melcham. Tashma, here comes a raya that indeed we do trust in edechad. Even when it involves tragic incidences, there is room for jumping to conclusion and assumptions. Ma'aseh b'shnei tamid chacham, a story involving two tamid chachamim, shoyboin, who were traveling im Abu Yosef ben Simaya with this person b'sfina in a ship, v'tava the ship capsized, and these two tamid chachamim were nowhere to be seen; they were presumed drowned. V'heisi Rebbe nishri sein, Rebbe allowed their wife to remarry, al pi noshim, based on the testimony offered by two women who were present, who saw that the ship capsized and they drowned. Asks the Gemara, v'hamayim, this situation, a capsized ship, is k'melchama damu. It's treated like melchama. People jump to conclusions. People make assumptions. Who could survive this type of accident? And who's speaking? Women. So even if it's a few women, they don't have more value than one aid. V'noshim, when it comes to women who are not valid aidim, they're not men. Afilu may, even 100 women are treated ke'edecha dami. They have the same value as one aid. Uktani, what does the Braisa say? Hey, see, Rebbe relied on the testimony of this so-called one aid, many women who are like one aid, even in a precarious, unknown situation, like Milchama. V'tisper, how can you suggest this? How could he have been mater? Mayim she'en lahem seif ninu. The halacha is when we have a body of water, somebody drowned in a body of water which has no defined, has no visible parameters, no visible borders, no visible end, just an endless body of water which you can't see the end. That's a problem. A mayim she'en lahem seif ishtei asura. This is a mayim she'en lahem seif. Has no defined borders. And in that case, ishtei asura. You never know. Perhaps a person, surfaced on the other side, which was you're beyond your field of vision. So in any case, Rebbe could not have allowed these women to remarry if we're dealing with Mayim She'en Lahem Soif. Ella Hechadomi apparently was speaking about a case where there is another factor involved. The Amri, these women are claiming the Askinu Kamon, the men who actually pulled out, they had drowned and they were actually pulled out of the water in our presence. So it wasn't just an assumption. V'chazinu la'altar, we noticed them soon after they were pulled out of water, Rashi Tosfos says, because if they wait too long, they can get disfigured. So we saw them right away, and we identified them based on the simonim that they had. V'ka'amri simonim, and they're telling us about the simonim they noticed on these people, the identifying elements, and they certainly identified them as the Talmid HaChamim. We're not just relying on their assumptions. Ela simonim, the fact that they're giving us simonim, that lends credibility to their account. So this is not just an assumption, and therefore it's unrelated to our shaila whether we believe in Eid Echad in a time of Melchama. Continues the Gemara. On the topic of Simonim, Ahu Gavra, there was this fellow, the Afkid Shum Shemiga Bechavra. He deposited some seeds, some sesame seeds, with his friend. Amrlay, after a while, comes back to him, Havli Shum Shemiga, can I have my seeds back? Amrlay says, what do you mean? You took them already. Shakli Sinu. The fellow responds, what do you mean? Well, Kain Bekain Havyan. I gave you this amount of seeds, 10 pounds. Take a look, it's sitting in your barrel right there. What are you talking about? Amalei says, what do you mean? Your seeds, you took already. You took them last week. These seeds, oh, these are my seeds. It's a totally different shipment. What are you talking about? So who's in the right? Sover of Chizal Memer, Chizal figures, well, this is the same exact halacha as the two Tamid HaChamim. We have the Noshim who testified regarding their demise based on the simanim, right? But I mean, we don't speculate and say, well, hanach azlu la'alma, just because they're telling us about some identification. Maybe, you know, the Tamid HaChamim themselves disappeared, but hanach rinaninu, and these fellows who pulled out of water were different people who happened to have the same, coincidentally, happened to have the same simanim. We don't say that. We don't introduced far-fetched theories here as well. Look, he's giving him the exact amount, 10 pounds, which happens to be an accurate amount, which fits the bill. So why should we assume that the 10 pounds of shumshimi lying here are not his? Amale Rava, Rava responds, Midami, how do you compare the two stories? How some kamer simanim, in the case of the Tamid HaChamim, who drowned, the women provided very definitive signs, as opposed to the sesame seeds. Hacha, shumshimi, my simana islo. What kind of identification can he give? Sesame seeds are just seeds. But the ka'amar kenvikin havin, although he claims that it was a very specific amount, which happens to be, a matching to what it is. You know what? He could have just lucked out. Amar chush b'nei Yisrami. Perhaps he guessed the right amount. It's not a definitive sign, not a definitive, identifying element. Amale mark shisha barav chizl ravashi. So he asked Rashi, what do you mean? Umichai shinan shema pinan. He put the sesames in this barrel. Comes back, the barrel is filled with sesames. Should we assume that he cleared the contents of the barrel and refilled it? Why would we assume so? Let's not listen to this Mishnah in Master Shing. We seem to see that we don't just assume contents were cleared. Motzakli, this fellow finds a container, v'kosuv olav kuf, which has on it the letter kuf, just kuf. What does kuf stand for? We assume it refers to carbon. The contents are part of the Beis HaMikdash arrangement, it's hegdish, and kuf is short for carbon. He finds the word mem, a letter mem, it means maser. Dalas, dimur, it's a mixture of chulin and truma. He finds the letter tes on the container, it's alluding to tevel. He finds the letter tuf, we assume there's truma inside. Why was he so, short in his description? Shebashasa sakana, because in times of danger, when they were persecuted, hayur koisvin tuf tachas truma, they were concerned about exposing themselves to the goyim, so they would just put the tuf, and everybody knew it means truma. In any case, it's clear that the content that was there previously is presumed to be the same content. We don't assume we just cleared the content. If it was truma to begin with, we assume there's truma there now. Here as well by the sesame seeds. Why should we assume the contents have been switched? Amalei Ravina l'Rav Ashi. What do you mean? V'lei chashin l'shem pina. We don't speculate that perhaps content was switched. Amos Sefer, move on to the next part of the Mishnah where it seems that we do concern ourselves with that possibility. Rabbi Yossi, I mean, he disagrees. Afilu matzo chavis, because of a little truma. So he finds a barrel with the word truma emblazoned on the outside of the barrel. Shall we assume the content is truma? No, not necessarily. Harei l'chulin, you can say the content is chulin. Why? What do you mean? It says truma. It's labeled. Shani Omer, because I can say, Ishtak, I'd have a Moli Truma. You know what, last season, it was filled with Truma, and hence the label. Upina. But then he cleared the content, and now he filled it with something else, and there you go. So content can be switched. So we have a steerer within the Mishnah. Here we say we don't switch, and here we say we do. Ella de kuli amachashina shem apina. So in truth, it seems that perhaps all agree that content can be switched. What was there yesterday isn't necessarily there today. So what's the machlekes between Tanakama and Rabbi Yosi? In theory, you can switch content. But the machlekes is like this. Mar Savar, Tanakama holds, im iso the pino, if indeed he cleared the content, he emptied the container, michpar, have a chafar, he would have, you know, blotted out, he would have erased the label. Why would he have kept the kuf or the tuf on the label, on the container? The fact that the label is still there indicates that the content is still the same. V'idach, Rabbi Yosi says, look, Eimar, perhaps Ishtadlu, Ishtali, he cleared it, but then he forgot to erase the label. Inami, or you can say, Lefanchaya, as a protector, Shafke, he left it there, meaning he was trying to, you know, keep his Paris safe. So he left the word Truma on the outside. This way people, a Jewish robber, wouldn't get close to the Truma, afraid of Truma. So this was the reason why he left it labeled. Right? But on concept, all agree that you can perhaps clear content, and here as well with the Sumsumi, fine. It's the same barrel, looks the same, but perhaps it's a different content. Continues the Gemara. Yitzchak Resh Galusa, that was his name. He was Bar Achse, the brother of the sister, meaning the nephew, of who? The Rav Beve. He was traveling, Hava Ka'azel, he was traveling from where to where? Mikurtava, from this town, Laspamya Veshachev, and it passed away upon arriving at Aspamya. Shachev Mihasum, they sent a message from Aspamya. You should know this fellow passed away, his wife can remarry. Yitzchak Rishkalusa, Bar Achse, the Rav Beve, right, his whole title. Hava Ka'azel, he was traveling, Mikurtava, Aspamya, this was the message. He was traveling, he arrived with Shachev, and he passed away en route. Question is, Michai Shina Litre Yitzchak Oilai. In all likelihood, this is the fellow that we're looking for. But you know what? You never know. Maybe there are two people of the same name. Are we Chayshish or not? Do we know who this fellow is? Abaya Omer Chayshin. Yeah, we're concerned. You never know. Maybe there is somebody with the same exact title. And this is not your husband. Rav Omer Chayshin. We're not concerned. Unless we know otherwise. We assume there's one Yitzchak Veshkalusa, Achse de Rav Beve. Amar Abaye ben Aminul. How do we know that there is room for concern about, duplicates? Dahu Gita, the story of a get, the Yishtakach ben Harda, which was found on the street of an Harda, Uksiv Bey, and in it was written as follows: Betzad Klonya, near the town Klonya, Klonya Masa, the town Klonya. Anna, so you know, I'm the husband. My, you know, myself, I Adroniloi, that was his name, that's the husband's name. So I, Adroniloi, Narda, from the town Narda, Patris Visarchis, I separated, I divorced, yes, Polonius, Antasi, this woman, my wife. Okay? So they find this get with this with this text relating to this husband with this and this name. No, do we know who this fellow is? V'sholcha avod Shmuel kamei de Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. So Shmuel's father sent a shaila to Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. Can we assume that this get was written by this woman's husband? We know this woman was married to this type of person with this title, with this name. Shall we assume it's hers, or should we perhaps chayshish? Are we going to be chayshish to somebody else, the same exact name? It doesn't belong to her. V'shalach le'er, Rida responded, yeah, there's concern. Tibodik Narda Kula, go look around throughout the whole town of Narda to confirm that there's nobody else with the same name. Says Abai, oh, here's a raya. We're concerned about duplicates. V'rava, Amar Rava responded, im Isa. You know, if indeed this would have been a real concern, then why stop at Naharda? Yibadek kal ha'olam kula mibayale. You have to check the whole world. Maybe there was another fellow with the same type of name. I lived in Naharda, now left town. Maybe he's been out of here 20 years. You don't know where he is. So you have to check the whole world. You have to make a worldwide search, which obviously is impractical. So why did he suffice with checking the local town? Oh, apparently it's not really a chashash. Ela mishum kvoide davod shmul d'shalach hachi. Really, halachically, there's no grounds for suspicion of duplicates. It was just out of respect. You see, avod shmul had asked the shayla, so Yehuda says, you know what? Yeah, check the local town, but really, you don't really have to do it. He was just, giving him kvoide and taking his query, seriously. But really, there's no chashash of duplicates. Amar of Amna Aminallah, how do I know? You don't have to worry about duplicates. Dahanu Trei Shtori. There were two separate documents, loan documents, the Nafki B'Mechuza, which were found in the town of Mechuza. Uksibuhu, and these documents were written as follows. One of them had the name Chavi Bar Ninai, and one of them had the name Vinani. One of them was Nani Bar Chavi. So one was Chavi Bar Ninai, and one was Nani Bar Chavi. So actually, it wasn't lost, but the fellow holding the shtar wanted to collect with it, right? And Chavi Bar Ninai was holding his shtar, which had his name. Nani Bar Chavi was holding his shtar, which bears his name. V'agbi b'hu Rava Bar Avo Azuzi. Rava Avo gave the shtar credence and allowed them to collect money with it. So what's the problem? It's my shtar, what's the problem? Oh, there were many people with this type of name. This was a common name in Mechoza. Both these types of names. V'ha, the question is that Chavi Bar Ninai, and the other name as well, V'nani Bar Chavi b'mechuza, and the town of Mechuza Shchichi Tuva. It was a very popular name. These two names are very popular. So how do you know it's my shtar? Apparently, we're not choishish. Look, you have the shtar in your hands. We assume it's yours, right? There's no reason to suspect and to speculate. Here as well, with the get that was found, etc. We don't have to speculate and question the validity of this testimony or the validity of the get. Abai responds by saying like this. L'may nuchashla. In this case, you're holding on to your shtar, right? Your name is Chavi Bar Ninai. You're holding on to a shtar which bears your name. Why should we question the validity of the shtar? Ilana fila. Should we be choishish that perhaps this shtar originally belonged to the other fellow with the same name, and he just lost it, and now you picked it up and you're claiming it as yours. Mizar Zarbi, a person's careful with a shtar. Nobody just drops a shtar. There's no reason to think you found a lost shtar. See, in the previous case, there was a get lost in the street. It's a different story. We don't know who the rightful owner is. Here we're speaking about a fellow who's producing a shtar. It's mine. Why should we assume it was lost and he found it? People are careful with formal documents, especially loan documents. Should we be concerned that perhaps the other fellow with the same name deposited his shtar with you? So it's not really yours, it's his. Nobody does that with a fellow who bears the same name. Kivun d'shmei kishmei, since both people have the same name, he would never deposit his loan document with his other fellow who might claim it as his own. My amr. So what's the only question here? What's the chashash? Dilma Masali, perhaps the rightful owner of the shtar gave it to me. He gifted it to me, sold it to me. But there wasn't yet a kinyan done. He just gave it to me, but I wasn't really coin it. I didn't really acquire it. I knew a proper acquisition, therefore it still belongs to him. So how could I collect with it? Maybe that's the problem. No, oisies niknais. Halacha is oisies, letters, meaning documents, can be acquired simply by transferring them. You don't need to make a special kinyan. So once he gave it to me, it's rightfully, legally mine. So of course I can use it. So in any case, there are no reasons to disallow the fellow who's holding onto the shtar, the possessor of the shtar, from collecting on this loan. Therefore, says Abai, there's no chashash, there's no raya from that case to a case where, the fellow was traveling and there was a message sent or a get was found. In that case, you never know. If if they're speaking about the same person, and therefore I'm choshish for duplicates. Okay, so bottom line, what do we learn today? Typically, the isha is nemet to say her husband passed away, but if it's a precarious situation, time of warfare, etc., where a person can jump to conclusions and make assumptions, we question her story, we don't take it as fact unless it is actually confirmed 100%. What about if she comes and tells us about the Muhammad to begin with? Should we say, okay, evidently she's saying the truth, or it's not a question of truth or no truth. She just naturally will jump to conclusions. This is the way people fast. That's the common mindset when it comes to Muhammad. So there's no way of knowing what exactly happened. That was a shayla which we left unresolved. Another shayla left unresolved is regarding Eid Echad. If he comes and speaks to us about a person passing away in a time of Muhammad, here as well there's a chashash to say, well, you can't rely on the Isha's own personal investigative efforts, because perhaps she'll again jump to conclusions because of the Muhammad factor involved. We have the story with the Shumshumi, and then the Machlokes Abayi v'Rava, whether or not b'choshish for duplicate identities. All the best to you, and much hatzlacha.